no idea when Dev starts on this.
Oh, me neither. Is it now?
It can't be now. There's no way. Wait, it's coming up. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Places. Places.
The history of film. That battle who even the lights go dim. James Cagney to Nosferatu and stunts that shock you. And all the dirty tricks studios made. From Wings to Top Gun, movie stars and no ones. We're manic crazy fans that leave no real a ton. Hollywood is film history in Hollywood. They chase the Oscar, but it's all a sham, just like Shaq and Kazam. All your dreams can come true. Film history, the history of film. All of it made for you.
Good God, that was terrible.
Dev was a little bit late getting in because there was a fucking premiere of what we're pretty sure is Avatar 2 happening down the street.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Hollywood premiere of Avatar 2 is happening down the street.
Yeah.
Fuck you, James Cameron. That's all I have to say for traffic.
Well, Dev, guess what? Today, we're going to be doing Avatar 1.
Yeah, this episode's about Avatar 1.
So, all your fuck you James Camerons are in line tonight.
All right. Yeah, well, it's good because I actually just watched the making of Avatar 2.
Oh,
well,
there you go.
Wait, the making of Avatar 2?
Yeah.
Why is that out already?
It's like, you know, as promotion for the film drop. So, they did a bunch of like, here's what we built. Here's how the new tech. Here's they did like a four-part series. I think I watched it on YouTube, but it was from the production itself and like behind the scenes and like, because they've been doing this for years.
Yeah, they've been doing it for many years.
Man.
Before we really get started, I do want to have, I have an opening number I want to play.
Yeah.
Did you want to say anything else before we actually get into the episode?
No, go ahead. Let's
okay,
do it.
So I'm just going to play this little opening number for everybody and,
That's great, man. That is perfect. The submarine man himself, old James Cameron. This is kind of like a sequel to Titanic that we're doing here today.
It's hilarious too because like that was actually the wrong clip. The right clip is when he gets out from under the water and they play the song, and then at the end he's like, "That was fun exploring the deeps. I'm gonna go make Avatar 2 now," which is also literally what happened. But I'll get into that.
We'll close out the show with the right one.
Yeah, you know, I'll probably never do an episode on that guy just because he's just like, I don't know. I mean, he's James Cameron, but like,
well,
interesting story.
Is this the third episode of James Cameron?
Keep fucking talking about this guy.
We're just going to do his movies, but not him.
Yes,
that will
exactly.
piss him off so much.
He'll hate it. Apparently, look, here's what I know. He was a truck driver. And when he was like a teenager, I guess he would go to USC and he would like check out materials on, or I think he would like steal them, I don't know, on filmmaking.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah. And he would like listen to like books on tape in his truck about filmmaking. And that's where he learned how to be a filmmaker.
Wait, what?
Yeah. That's what I've heard.
Interesting.
You know, his brother is a military consultant for Hollywood.
Holy
his
shit.
His brother was in the army or something and went and did tours in Iraq and then came back. And now because it's James Cameron's brother, he gets hired as like the military consultant for like so many movies.
What a cush gig. You're just like, yeah, just shoot that gun. Like, it'll, you know, that's what we did. We killed villagers and children.
Also,
as long as
like,
you're killing children.
What is it like to be James Cameron's brother?
Oh my God, I know. Yeah, for real.
I personally requested this episode because Avatar 2 is coming out next week. I have fought for a long time. I was like, I really want to do an Avatar episode right when Avatar 2 is coming out. One, because, you know, tie-in promotions do good numbers. But also, I already knew a lot about the making of this movie, and I think it is incredibly fascinating, and I was like, I knew it would make for a good episode, but also, I think Avatar gets a bad rap because the story is trash.
Yeah,
but this movie is so much bigger than its story, and I feel like if more people understood what it took to make this movie, they would appreciate what Avatar was.
Right.
Because it's greater than like the sum of its parts. You know what I mean?
But the people who trash Avatar are people who have never spent a night in the woods. You know, like, the only way that you are like, fuck this, why would I ever do that? Believe in like natives and like run around? It's like, nah, it's because you've never been camping, motherfucker. Like,
I gained a little bit more of an appreciation for this movie while I was doing the research, just because I didn't know how much Like,
craziness. Yeah. Inventing new shit.
Inventing new shit.
I'll tell you guys when we get into it about cameras that they invented for Avatar 2 for shooting underwater and shooting 3D at the same time as 2D.
Damn.
And they had to build these custom rigs that are real crazy.
I love James Cameron. Hats off.
Me too. And my thing too is not only that, but like the whole movie is this like big homage to like Hinduism and like, you know, of course, indigenous peoples being, you know, systematically eradicated throughout history and shit. Mm-hmm. And this was actually, I mean, it resonated very heavily with like Native Americans and all like indigenous people around the world.
I want to say, you probably know this, but I want to say he came up with the idea for Avatar a long time ago. I know that, but I think he did it on a psychedelic trip because that he came up with the idea for Terminator 2.
Right.
During a dream. He had a dream about this metal skeleton in a fire. And he had that scene ingrained in his brain, and he wrote that scene, and then he extrapolated it out, and that's where we got T2.
Cool.
And I was like, from a fucking dream.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's that type of dude. He's like a psychedelic taken, like, travel around the world. Like, he goes through jungles with tribes.
Look, man, you do ayahuasca, this will be your favorite movie.
Yeah.
Like, straight up. You do mushrooms, like, you're gonna be like, the fern gold. All day.
Yeah.
The man is like Richard Branson as a fucking filmmaker. He just like travels the world, you know, goes on like huge underwater dives. And,
dude, I have so much on this film. Like, so this will be also an interesting episode because our audience isn't used to me knowing things.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be presenting a lot of the information in this episode.
Yeah. Because a lot of this was me like, they put some people in the ping pong suits and then they computerized stuff. And so Drake is here to fill in the gaps.
I am uniquely qualified because a lot of the tech overlaps with video game stuff that I'm already familiar with. But then I also just like, I love the story of this movie. So like, I was already familiar with a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. And then earlier today you texted me, you're like, you got a lot of the facts, right? And I was like, fuck, I mean, they're foggy. So I rewatched some information about it to like jog my memory, but I have a lot of stuff about the making
of
this film.
Yeah, good.
So,
well, look, this is like the sequel to Titanic, basically, here on Film History. The history of film. If you were wondering after Titanic, whatever happened to that old James Cameron guy? Where did he ever wind up going?
He's at the bottom of the sea.
Yeah, right. Underwater.
Did he ever direct again? Did he go mad from the acid that was put in his potato soup on set?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, or did he go to prison for all those people he nearly killed on set in Mexico?
I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, he put that acid in there.
He put his own acid in there.
He accidentally spiked the potato soup. Wasn't it like fucking potato soup or something?
Potato salad?
Yeah.
Yeah, potato salad. I think that was it. Potato salad at craft services spiked with acid. That was the Titanic episode, everyone. If you haven't listened to that yet, go listen to it. But listen to this one first.
Oh, wait, hold on. I want to... Have you guys checked our Twitter recently?
A little bit.
I want to do a shout out to someone who tweeted at us.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And said something so funny but so accurate. I think they meant this as...
Our fans are the best, by the
way. I think they meant this purely as a compliment, but it is very funny. So someone tweeted, Eric Matter Tormitor.
Oh, yeah. I think he followed us, too. Shout out, bro.
Shout out. Am I pronouncing this correctly, Dev?
Trometer.
I'm dyslexic. Sorry. He said, at FHH Podcast, is a podcast I recommend. It's a lot of fun, and every once in a while, you learn something.
Yes, that is a perfect review. We'll use that as like a blurb.
That should be
podcast.
Our description in our bio.
Every once in a while,
you learn something. Not always.
I tweeted back. I said thank you. Every once in a while is generous, but I'm glad you're having fun.
Well.
So go follow us on Twitter for more comedy gold. Our fans. Our fans are great. We want to interact with them more. So
love our fans.
By the way, our Spotify review, like our year-end review, was so cool and clutch.
Yeah.
To see how much, like, we realized that, like, our fans are diehard fans.
Yeah.
Like, even though we don't have millions of downloads, the ones who fuck with us, like, really fuck with us.
We're in their top 10% of subscribers.
I was blown away. We're in the top 10% of all podcasts on Spotify.
Yeah.
Which it blew me away. Yeah, either me too. That means most podcasts are very unsuccessful, yeah, or we're doing better than I thought.
For the TV film category.
That's right.
Oh, wait, was that? It didn't specify that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll take it.
I didn't see that part. I didn't see that part.
Spotify rapped and said, every once in a while you learn something. Yeah.
Shout out to Spotify.
Yeah, but we grew 505% in the last year, which also blew me away. I didn't know we had grown that much.
Yeah, you guys are amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
And to answer your question about where James Cameron ever went, the answer is he sat down in his home, which I imagine after Titanic was just like a city that he bought, you know. And lived
in. He bought the Queen Mary, and he's living on that.
Yeah, he bought the ocean, and he just lived there for a while. And he wrote a little movie called Avatar, probably on a lot of psychedelics.
I swear that man has had to have done. You can't make this movie and not done psychedelics.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
you're so in tune. The symbolism behind it, with tapping into like the whole spiritual aspect of connecting with nature.
Yes,
and like how we're destroying the rainforest. Yes, it was Ferngully. I get it.
Yeah,
but. It was a badass Ferngully. It was like Ferngully on steroids,
yeah, it was.
And not for kids, you know. So I you know, it's I appreciate the story of this movie. I know a lot of people say they give it shit. It was like, well, why would I like that? But I was like, damn, when has there ever been a big budget, high special effects, high, you know, value studio film that has really presented a message like this?
No, that's true. Right.
Yeah.
So I gotta give them hats off to that.
I mean,
the message has never had a bigger stage than Avatar.
It was colonization, ecology, you know, Native
corporate
people. Corporate America, absolutely. I mean, it was this huge message, and like you said, it was presented in this way where the masses came and fucking saw this thing. You know?
Yeah,
and of course, the main reason we're talking about Avatar today is because the sequel is fast approaching. Dev was late because of the premiere, like we were just saying earlier.
I sat in gridlock traffic in Hollywood for a fucking hour. I was sitting in front of the Magic Castle for 30 minutes trying to get here,
so,
like 3 blocks away.
That's so funny. This was not planned. I did not intend for our recording to overlap with the premiere.
Yeah, the sequel is premiering Avatar 2, The Blue People's Revenge. This time it's personal.
I have a quote that I would like to read about Avatar 2. And this quote comes from Guillermo del Toro.
Nice.
I will say this again. Avatar 2. After seeing it, you will realize how long it's been since you've seen an actual movie.
Yeah.
And I'm talking a movie. All caps.
I love it, man.
Shout out to Guillermo.
What is the second one about?
Hey.
It's Way of the Water. So, from what I understand, and Drake, you probably correct me, you probably know a little bit more about this because you're more in touch, but I think that they meet this other tribe and go that lives under the water. And the whole thing, a lot of, like, majority of the movie takes place underwater.
That's
so they
sick.
Filmed all of the fucking shots, even their mocap. So James Cameron was like, yo, inventing new mocap.
They did underwater mocap?
Yeah. That's what they did. Because they were like, the movement needs to be like you're underwater. You can't fake that. So, like, they had to build these specific, not only build the cameras, but then build the housing for the cameras.
Jeez.
And do all this in a fucking tank. And, like, you know, anyway, so I think that the premise is they're meeting this other tribe that now, because their home got destroyed.
Right.
So they're like kind of migratory and they find this other tribe and they kind of connect with them. But then the humans send another fleet of army.
Of course.
To go there and then there's
the
another
Navy.
Big battle.
It's like, all right, we'll send the Navy this time. We'll take care of you.
Fucked up. The Navy. Yeah.
We'll take care of you blue fuckers one way or the other, all right? America, goddammit.
Avatar 2 is 3 hours and 10 minutes.
Jesus.
And they cut a lot.
Man. And so this will be a recurring theme. James Cameron is the number one big dick swinger in Hollywood.
Oh, my. He's the, like, we're talking about the man who beat out his own movie that was already he had the top grossing film in the entire world, Titanic. And then in 2009, he comes along and makes Avatar and beats himself as the other top grossing movie of all time. Like, the two top grossing movies of all time are this man.
Do you know what was funny? Because this is like Tom Cruise versus James Cameron. They decided to re-release Maverick in theaters for 2 weeks right now while this premiere is going on. Like, it's not running over Christmas.
Yeah.
They're, it's out of theaters before Christmas, but for the beginning of December, you can go back and see Maverick. So they're like, fuck you. We're going to try to draw as much money as you can away from you. Like, Studio Wars. Golly.
Good luck.
Well, but the reason I bring up, and I will continue to bring up multiple times, where James Cameron is big dick swinging. Multiple Fox executives came into his office to try and, they pled with him to cut this movie down. Be like, you cannot release a 3-hour movie.
Yeah.
And he would kick them out of his office.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, you work for them, technically.
And by the way, he's not exactly like the sweetest guy on the planet.
Yeah.
Like, James Cameron is known for being a very hard ass dude. And he was a truck driver, you know.
And then in an interview, they were asked, what about people who want to take a bathroom break? And he said, you can take a bathroom break whenever you want. Whatever scenes you miss, you can watch the second time you see it.
Yeah.
That was the other part. We're going to get into that a little bit today, but like, this was one of the first movies that came out in our time that people were just going to see over and over and over again. They would have press dockets out front of theaters, and people were like, oh yeah, this is my third time seeing it, like, this fucking week. You know? Like, people just, this was gangbusters. Like, this man put a spell over the world.
Yeah.
Like, there's no doubt. I think James Cameron has some deal with Satan. I don't know, but
his deal is with the tree and the mushrooms.
Man, I can't wait. Yeah, because everything I don't know about the movie is what you're about to tell me.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'm so excited to learn. I'm so excited to tell you guys about some stuff.
Hell yeah.
Where do we get started? Where do we start?
Let's get started with, well, for one, if you, for whatever reason, don't know what this movie is, I don't know how that's possible. Avatar 1 was a 2009 epic science fiction film directed, written, co-produced, and co-edited by the submarine man himself, James Cameron, and it was starring Sam Worthington, Zoe Saldana, Stephen Lang, Michelle Rodriguez, and Sigourney Weaver. And James Cameron absolutely put that acid in the clam chowder on the set of Titanic.
It's clam chowder. That was it.
I think it was. Yeah. But to begin at the beginning, I'm going to tell you a little bit about when this movie came out on a segment that we call When Are We?
The most recent When Are We in film history, the history of film history.
Yep, I'm going to take you all the way back to 2009, the year of our Lord. Where were you guys in 2009? Let's just talk about it real quick.
Probably in a fucking drug rehab in Florida.
Rail and Blow on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah. I was in ninth grade.
You were in ninth grade.
The years of my grades lined up perfectly with the year that it was.
That's
so
right.
In ninth, so I was, this was December.
God, I feel so old.
Yeah,
this was
old.
December of 2009. Yeah. So I would have been in 10th grade actually,
wow.
Because like I graduated ninth grade in 2009. So that would have started 10th grade in 2009. So yeah.
Fantastic.
It was, 10th grade.
Actually, 2009, I was teaching musical theater, and I had just started Mad Hatter Humor, my first production company with Max.
Oh, shit.
In Florida, and we were doing a documentary about the homeless in Florida.
Oh, damn. Hell yeah. That's awesome. I was a year out of, I was about to move to LA the next year, and I was still at Mississippi State. And I was just, like, crawling my way out of the fucking woods.
I remember taking driver's ed and talking to my driver's ed teacher as I was learning how to drive about Avatar.
That's hilarious.
And I was like, yeah, man, it seems crazy. I haven't seen it yet. And he was like, dude, you gotta see it.
You gotta see it. I'll play it on my phone for you right now. Well, you couldn't yet. We didn't really. We didn't have shit like that yet.
No, but to be fair, I do remember when this movie came out. Because I went and saw it in theaters normal. And then, like, I was like, yo, this movie's so badass and so profound that I went back, like, 2 weeks later with friends and saw it in IMAX on Fungus.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
And I was like, this is a movie for mushrooms.
For sure. I saw it twice in IMAX. I was like, I was a movie going motherfucker in 2009. I think I was just getting ready to come out here.
I was watching everything, all
the fucking movies.
Yeah.
2009, Mr. Barack Obama took office as the leader of the free world.
Who?
Taking the helm from old George W.
Hell yeah.
This was Obama's first year. Ongoing financial crisis and recession, which began...
That's what I was about to throw myself off a fucking building.
Yeah.
Our elites just wrecked everything.
Dude, the recession was hard this fucking year, man. Yeah. This was right around, you know, the housing bubble popping and all
that
shit.
That's probably why it was so popular. Yeah. It's like everybody's miserable and they're like, I need to escape this misery.
You need to go to a
take me
for 3 hours.
Pandora.
Yes. James Cameron's like, what recession?
Yeah, fuck a recession. Here's a $4 million, zillion, billion-dollar movie for you.
Like, what do you mean, buddy? 2009 was James Cameron.
Yeah, it was the only motherfucker.
Congress went to him for the bailout.
Yeah. Please, Mr. Jim. Please, Mr. Submarine Man. Can we have some money? It was the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression.
Causing house prices
to decline and unemployment to increase, of course. Gas around this time, $2.75 a gallon.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this is back in 2009.
That's
like I said,
wild.
Yeah, this is back, man.
By the way, we should be in a chaos environment. Like, it's a miracle that, like, the whole society of the planet didn't go off the rails from the what the fucking stockbrokers did in 2008 and crashed everything.
Crashed around the world. We damn near went out. We damn near went lights
wild.
Out.
I was too young to notice. It was bad.
That's crazy.
The recession was for real in 2009.
We didn't really get out of it until like 2012.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like.
My father went to the breadline and never came back. You
know, like, yeah, but that was because of you.
That's true. He was just avoiding me.
There was no bread.
Like, what father?
There was no bread. He was just smoking a cigarette on the corner. Asking for crystal. I'm just kidding. My dad's not a crystal meth user.
No.
the average rent around this time was $700 a fucking month. The average price of a house was $230,000. Are we talking about 1960 or are we talking about 2009?
I was like, what financial crisis? I feel like we're in a bigger financial crisis right now.
Yeah, well, the thing is now we're all as broke as we were in 2009, but everything's more expensive. That's the real problem. We're in a worse place
crisis.
Now.
This sounds like a utopia.
A movie ticket was $7.50 at the time.
It's
doubled. Until Avatar came out. And then the IMAX ticket was way more expensive than that. Yeah, nowadays it's like $1,000.
James Cameron is directly responsible for movie tickets being $30.
Yeah, he really is. This movie we're talking about is why movie tickets are so fucking expensive. 2009, you remember the swine flu was pretty hot around this time.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, this was when the swine flu was killing everybody.
Yeah.
That was rough.
It killed like two people.
There's so much that happened other than that in the world that like I didn't even remember that swine flu was a thing until you just brought it up.
Oh, yeah. That is crazy. It's not something I've thought about. Yo, 2009 was wild.
It was wild.
Yeah.
People were in breadlines getting the swine flu. And James Cameron was just like, here's a really expensive movie. In 2009, Russia fully closes down gas supplies to Ukraine due to a dispute over a debt of $2.4 billion to Gazprom. Luckily, they patched up their relationship and things have been good between Russia and Ukraine ever since.
Oh, man. We shouldn't be laughing because, like, people are dying, but that was really funny.
People were dying then, too. Yeah. It was just a swine flu, not of bombs.
Instead of cutting off the gas, they just bombed all the gas lines.
Yeah. They didn't cut them off nicely this time around. This was also a year. So, okay, 2009, this is going to sound crazy. This was sort of the year that the celebrity deaths, like, began. Do you remember this? Celebrities started dying in droves. Like,
really?
Because there was a recession. They couldn't pay bills.
Celebrities have died every year. There's a whole section at the Oscars for it. But this year just felt like particularly... this was the year that Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett died on the same day.
That's right.
Yeah, Michael Jackson had to go and fuck up Farrah Fawcett's death day with his own. You know, nobody remembers that Farrah Fawcett died from her fucking ass killing her on the same day as Michael Jackson, you know.
That's right.
No, guys, that's ignorant. That's ignorant.
That's right.
Yeah, famous people were dying left and right. Michael Jackson started it up. Farrah Fawcett the same fucking day. Patrick Swayze died that year. And I think at that point we were like, well, celebrities are all just going to die now. You know, this is it.
Unless you're in a James Cameron movie.
Yeah. If you're under contract with old Jimmy, you're not dying this year. You know, this was the year of Black Eyed Peas. We had Boom Boom Pow. I Got
That's
a Feeling.
Right.
I Got a Feeling.
Well,
holy
I
shit. That's the most 2009 song ever made. Yeah.
Poker Face by Lady Gaga.
Oh,
my
God.
Yes, dude. This was the year, big year for like Biebs, Taylor Swift, Miley Cyrus,
wow.
Lady Gaga, Black Eyed Peas. And then,
no
course,
wonder people were dying.
Yeah, it was a terrible year for music. You had like fucking like Linkin Park and like Daughtry and shit. It was just like
Daughtry.
Yeah. If you didn't get Swine Flu at the Breadline, you were putting a gun in your fucking mouth, you know, to some fucking Daughtry.
Didn't they do the Gray album with like Linkin Park and the Beatles, and then people just start throwing themselves off of balconies?
Linkin Park and the Beatles is just, you just die to listen to that.
Yeah,
you don't even have to kill yourself.
Bleed.
That's insane.
Big year for movies. The Road. Remember The Road? The post-apocalyptic movie. 2012 came out in 2009.
That's right.
A lot of apocalypse movies were coming out. We were like, well, this is it, boys. We're gonna
wrap
it up.
I love how all the studios are like, we're going to monetize on this potential world disaster, but we got to hedge our bets and come out in 2009.
That's right.
We can't lose these dollars and cents. We got to go theaters, VOD, and then DVD. Like, we got to get those sales in.
Because if the world does end in 2012, how are we going to make money back?
Right, yeah. Right.
You remember, we thought the world was going to end in 2012. That was
we
like
thought
the
world
thing.
Was going to end in 2000. Yeah. All right, we're
every
fucking
year.
Idiots. Yeah.
Every year.
10 years, there's some kind of apocalypse.
Listen to this list, though. Inglourious Basterds came out 2009.
That's nice. Awesome.
Yeah, Lovely Bones, The Hangover, Public Enemies with Johnny Depp, Jennifer's Body with Megan Fox, Watchmen, District 9, and also that movie Fighting that no one saw with Channing Tatum and Terrence Howard.
Never even heard of this.
Channing Tatum was just like, oh,
like,
I
can
want
we talk
to fight
about,
people.
Like, do you guys remember the sound design for Public Enemies?
Yes.
Oh,
incredible.
I hated it because it was like normal dialogue, normal music, and then gunfire. Level 50 and like blow your fucking ears out
Michael
every
Mann,
time.
Right? Wasn't it Michael
I think
Mann?
So, yeah. And I was just like, Jesus, I can't even watch this.
Yeah.
Like, it was the great movie. I love Johnny, you know, whatever. But still, I was like,
a lot
easy
of people,
on the gunshots.
A lot of people hated it. I remember Shelby talking about she hated it because it was way high def and it was like a period piece done in like super HD. You know?
Yeah, I've
but
heard
that's
that
just because, like, in 2009, not all movies were in that high 4K and shit.
Right.
We were still, like, kind of transitioning.
4K wasn't the thing in 2009. 1080p was the highest resolution.
Yeah. See, this is why we got Drake here.
I'm just saying, it's the beginning of that
transition. HD was new. HD was new.
Yeah.
Like, HD started in 2006, is probably the first time we had, like, HD, like 1080p. And so, yeah, it was still a new thing. So, yeah, it was probably one of the first, like, period pieces released in, like, high definition.
Yeah. But
I can see the disconnect.
Yeah. We're not talking about any of those movies today, though.
Wait, hold on. What won Best Picture in 2009?
Oh, shit. Why didn't I didn't do that
one? I don't know, but shout out to Hangover, because that was dope. That was probably, out of all the ones you listed, I think that would be my favorite and most fun.
Slumdog Millionaire won in 2009.
Ah,
it's
a 2009-ass movie.
Yes,
yeah.
Dude. I saw all of these fucking movies in the movie theater. Everything that I just mentioned, every movie, I saw all of that shit in the movie theater, man.
So, because this is the first, like, modern When Are We that we've ever done, I also would like to talk about the video games that came out in 2009.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And there was no, like, a solidified game of the year wouldn't happen until like 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
So there's no like solidified like thing, but like I'll talk about the big game. So this was the original Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Wow.
So it's funny. They rebooted Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Modern Warfare 2, the reboot, is coming out this year.
The same year as Avatar 2.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In a lot of ways, what year are we in? 2022?
Yeah.
2022 is a sequel to 2009.
2009? Yeah,
in a lot
we're
of
in
ways.
A terrible financial crisis, and Modern Warfare 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Could that be by design?
Uncharted 2 Among Thieves was another runner for game of the year, and Batman Arkham Asylum, which like kicked off the entire like Arkham franchise and stuff. Last night at the Game Awards, we learned that Kevin Conroy, rest in peace, the iconic voice of Batman, his final performance will be in the Suicide Squad game that's coming out next year.
Damn.
So they announced that no one knew that he had recorded audio for Suicide Squad, and like Yeah, his final performance was announced last night.
I hope it's not like how Marlon Brando was in the Godfather game, where they recorded him from like a hospital bed with his oxygen tank.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, make him an offer.
Other big games from 2009, Assassin's Creed 2, Ratchet and Clank, A Crack in Time, and Resident Evil 5.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, 2009, good year for video games.
Good year for video games. Hell yeah.
Go bad year for the economy.
Yep. You know what happens is, like, the economy goes to shit, and then entertainment and booze go up out the roof.
Yes.
Because people are like, fuck this. I don't want to think about this. Let's just go ham.
After the bread line, let's go see Avatar.
Yeah.
Like, we'll
Yo,
save.
Can I use my EBT at AMC?
People were paying with their unemployment checks to go see Avatar. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the plot of this movie. Not much, just because it is a very long and very intricate movie. But I will tell you, in 2154...
By the way, hold on. Time out. No fucking way that we have this tech by 2154. You would have known that in 2009, motherfucker.
Wait,
like,
no, what?
Update the date.
That's
right?
100 years from now. We're absolutely going to have that. Yeah. A week... So... fucking
Elon Musk will invent
6 days ago, they just released an AI that you can have full-on conversations with. We are accelerating at an ungodly pace.
Yeah, but they didn't know that in 2009.
James Cameron knew.
In 100 years, we'll absolutely have this tech.
When you go as deep in the ocean as he does, you see things that you're not supposed to see.
That's what he did. He found aliens down there, and they just gave him, like, yo, this is what's going to happen. Start making your movies, and use this. Use that, don't use that, and then you'll be good.
And he immediately killed them and turned them into craft services.
James Cameron is an alien. He got abducted, and they swapped his body with a body snatcher, and that's why he's making all these bangers.
That makes sense to me.
Oh, man.
What were you going to say?
No, I was just the deep sea jellyfish telepathed the future to him.
Oh, my God.
That sucked his brains out. 2154. The world is covered in water. Water world. No, I'm The natural resources of the Earth have been depleted. The Resources Development Administration, or the RDA, mines the valuable mineral unobtainium on Pandora, a moon in the Alpha Centauri star system. Pandora, whose atmosphere is mostly gaseous, is inhabited by the Na'vi, 10-foot tall, super hot, ripped, blue-skinned, sapient humanoids with, like, big tits and dicks. And they all live in harmony with nature.
Was this, like, the mainstream of bringing alien porn into, like, culture?
After
seeing Zoe Saldana in, like, Blue Avatar, everybody's like, damn.
Damn.
No.
Well, maybe
like,
give I need me a 10-foot
tall. I have more details about that.
Okay, awesome. To explore Pandora, genetically matched human scientists used Na'vi human hybrids called Avatars. That's the name of the movie. Paraplegic Marine Jake Sully, played by Sam Worthington, who is the Australian Jeremy Renner, is sent to Pandora to replace his deceased identical twin, who had signed up to be an operator. Avatar program head Dr. Grace Augustine considers Sully inadequate, but accepts him as a bodyguard. And then it's Fern Gully, but with big, tall, blue, boobied people.
And kind of dances with wolves.
With wolves a little bit. Kind of the Last Mohican.
A little bit.
Kind of an acid trip.
Notes from James Cameron. Have a psychedelic or a dream and then just steal from the best.
Yeah. Hell yeah. There you go.
It's Pocahontas, but CGI.
Yeah. And people have sex with their hair.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. They're like ponytails. Fuck each other.
But also it's how you ride horses.
You fuck the horses with your ponytail and you also fuck the trees when you go to sleep with your ponytail. But you also like...
But this is also how you fuck.
Yeah. They kind of like dock ponytails. It's hot as shit. And they're so tall.
9 feet.
They're 9 feet fucking tall with these big ass penis ponytails. Oh, what a world. 2009. We are going back.
Yeah.
We're in it again.
It's a sequel of 20.
Now they're gonna be fucking underwater.
Yeah.
Real
hell yeah.
Slow-mo elf mocap.
Wet ponytails.
They're gonna be docking wet ponytails, baby.
They're gonna fuck some fish.
Yeah, hell yeah, they are. Yeah, they're definitely gonna fuck some fish in Avatar 2.
James Cameron's just combining his two loves, under the water and CGI.
Yeah, and fucking. I like three things: the ocean, CGI, and fucking. That's Avatar 2, the Revenge of the Blue People. That's all I'm really going to tell you about the plot. You know, go watch it. I don't know, man. It's probably out somewhere in IMAX right now.
Statistically, you already have.
Yeah. If you haven't seen this, it's because you were, like, trapped in a basement in 2009. But, and I feel bad for you
about
that.
You were in Ukraine. Yeah. Yeah, maybe you were. Get a chance to watch this.
Yeah, the gas was cut off by that point. Maybe you missed it standing in a red line, but at some point you had to have seen this.
Ukraine missed it on the first round, and they're going to miss it on the second.
Damn it!
It's the sequel. 2022 is a sequel to 2009.
Does Putin line up his attacks with Avatars coming out? He's like, well, the new Avatar is coming out. Time to bomb. But let's go into the fucking Bible or dictionary about what it was to produce this motherfucker, this fucking movie, the production of this thing. For one, it spanned like nearly 10 years making this thing, because he basically was waiting for the technology to even catch up to where we could do this.
Yeah.
You know?
So he invented a language. Are you talking about that?
Yes.
Yeah, I got some stuff on that.
Yeah. We're going to get into it. We're going to get into the production of Avatar now. Way back in the late 1900s, the 20th century, in 1995, I think Drake was negative 3 years old.
That was one.
Oh, right. When Drake was 1 year old, 1995, James Cameron announced that after Titanic, he'd be filming a movie called Avatar. And this is old Jimmy Cameron style. It's going to be $100 million right up front. I'm going to let you know that.
This was before even studios were like, how many?
How many dollars?
Now it's like Marvel, like Disney, like whatever. We'll throw $100 million at anything. You know, we'll throw $100 million at some dog shit piece of thing. Like whatever. Fuck it. But now this was like such groundbreaking. You're going to spend how much on this fucking movie?
No, the balls of this guy. He was like, by the way, after Titanic, I'm going to need an extra $100 million to make this Avatar thing.
Are the tickets made of gold and gemstones? What's going on?
And involve at least six actors in leading roles who appear to be real but do not exist in the physical world.
Is that how he described it?
He was on acid. He's like, one of them will be like, you don't know him yet, Jeremy Renner, but one of them will be like him, but Australian. And he's not going to be real, but he's going to look real. You know? He found answers in those jellyfish down at the bottom of the ocean. When you put that through the whole inflation calculator, by the way, that $100 million in 1995 comes out to about $190 million these days.
200. Yeah. Well, we were in a recession.
Yeah. And the film industry was like, hey, bro, like, that sounds great. We can't do that. Like, we're struggling with Jurassic Park right now, you know? Like, we can't make this fucking all computer movie.
Real but not real.
Real but not real. Yeah. 10 feet, you know, what do you want from us right now? Like,
want their ponytails to do what?
What? We're working on the Goof Troop movie over here. Like, are you fucking kidding? We're still doing hand drawn
like,
shit.
The message is like, not cut down forests. Like, we need some fucking money. Chop those bitches down.
And that was a big thing. The 90s, man, save the rainforest, you know, all those
fucking hippies.
Yeah,
that didn't
work
too well. I think the rainforest still needs some saving.
Yeah, because those dirty fucking hippies don't know how to actually make some moves like old Jimmy Cameron does.
Yeah, that's
what's
got to make a sequel to remind you.
Now it's save the water.
Yeah, now
it's
Russia's bombing the rainforest systematically, you know, fucking throwing dead Ukraine bodies at it. So I watched that. Damn, maybe we should cut that part out.
Man, I was going to say, we love everybody. We love in
Ukraine. Oh, yeah, we are pro Ukraine here. Yeah. Anti Russia, just to let you know. If anybody's going to kill us, it's either going to be Putin or the United States military. We'll find out who comes first.
And whoever comes second, we're on your side.
Whoever wins.
As long as you come.
Yeah. We call loser of this game. Thank you. I watched a GQ interview with James Cameron. By the way, GQ does this series where actors and directors and just fucking legendary film people talk about their careers. It's really cool. Like, it's really interesting. I highly recommend it. Just go look it up on YouTube. They've done, like, Scorsese, Spielberg, all the way down to fucking, you know, like, Christian Bale did a really good one. All these huge A-list film people do, you know, they break down their whole career, all the movies that they've done. Russell Crowe did a good one, Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's a really great series. But James Cameron sat down and he did one about his career, and it was very fascinating. He talked about how Leo did not want to do Titanic at first. He basically, like, dragged.
Yeah, I saw this because Leo wasn't challenging himself. He was like, I don't want to be a heartthrob. It's too basic. And then James Cameron was like, nah, you got to break it down. And he, like, gave him some insight. And then he was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be different and challenging.
Yeah, he made a good point about it. He said that Leo had always played these characters with some sort of affliction, either, like, a disability or an addiction or something like that. And he said Gregory Peck and James Stewart used to do these fucking movies where they would just stand there and be, and that's like the hardest thing that you can fucking do, is just like be in a scene as a person who is just...
He said the ailments were a crutch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you did, like, watch this interview.
It was a crutch that actors could use, and he goes, that's kind of cheating. He goes, you should be able to convey and still hold the audience's attention and stuff without needing the ailment and without needing that special quirk that makes you different. And Leo was like, oh, that's a good point.
That's a good point. Yeah. And also, we'll pay you a shit ton of money, you know, Titanic.
And like Kate Winslet.
And Kate Winslet, you know.
We'll pay you a Kate Winslet.
Yeah, we'll pay you a Kate.
And you get yelled at by Billy Zane. Like, you know, that's great. Yeah,
and you get yelled at by James Cameron when the cameras aren't rolling.
That's very true.
Because he does that a lot. We're going to talk about some of his antics on set and how fun he is to work with.
Oh, that's fun. I didn't get any of that.
Oh, yeah. He's a real fun guy. classic asshole. But he talked about how Avatar came to be. And this is from the mouth of old Jim himself. I'm going to quote it for you. Stan Winston and I formed a company called Digital Domain to create CG worlds, CG characters, somewhere around 95. We founded it in 92. It kind of came online in 93. All right, Jimmy, get it together here. A lot of dates you're throwing at us. I wanted to write something that I thought of as a provocation, something that I would go get financing for, and as a filmmaker, I can encourage / kick everybody up the backside to generate all this new technology. So I wrote Avatar, which was a kitchen sink approach. It wasn't a smart approach. I just threw everything into it that I thought would be cool. This is how the biggest movie ever made came to be. And so we sat. We had technical meetings. I talked about how I want to do facial performance capture. I want to do it with a camera. But they said, we can't get there from here. We can't get to what you want to create within a single movie cycle. We have to do other projects and build the tool set and work our way up to it. We literally have to make movies to develop the technology to figure out how the fuck to make your movie, basically. We have to, like, advance civilization to make your fucking real but not real movie.
James Cameron thought he was going to the moon, and this was Mercury, then Gemini, eventually Apollo.
That's a great way to put it. We got to land on,
we got to get to outer space.
Yeah. We have to
figure out how to survive there, and then we can go land on the moon.
No, let's go straight to Pluto. Let's just do it. by the way, other people would be doing it because the rising tide of CG was lifting all the ships in the entertainment industry at the same time.
What a fitting analogy.
Yeah,
James.
Rising tides. At the same time, and people were developing new tools all over the place. So that was in 95. I got it out and dusted it off in 2005. I was hitting a wall. I wanted to make Battle Angel. Did Battle Angel ever come out?
Yeah.
That was a thing, right?
Yeah, that's someone else did that.
Yeah, that's right. I was 3 scripts in and still wasn't liking it, and I thought, I better have a backup plan here. So I got out Avatar and read it, and I went, oh, this is pretty good. You know, this is actually not a bad story.
Acid.
Absolutely. He's like, oh, this isn't just acid drivel. Like, it's actually a story here. So then we put Battle Angel and Avatar on a parallel track to develop the facial capture tools, and we thought, maybe we flip a coin. We'll do one first, and then the other. And I was thinking we'd probably do Battle Angel first, and then Avatar. Again, biggest movie to ever have come out, ever. It was a fucking coin flip. And I thought, all right, well, I better write a scene. We got to the eve of our big test, and there wasn't a scene written for it. So then I looked through the Battle Angel script, and there wasn't a scene that was CG character to CG character. And I thought, well, there's nothing I can take from that. Well, all right, I'll look in the Avatar treatment, which was 80 pages long, and there was a scene that was pretty well fleshed out. It was when Jake first meets Neytiri in the forest. And I said, let's just do this. The decision was actually made without realizing it, and that we were going to do Avatar first, because once we got into that, it just seemed more and more obvious that we needed to make that movie. He also said, in 2002, The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers had come out, and Gollum.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said Gollum was kind of like his indicator that, like, we're ready. Like, we can do this.
They
now.
Were like, you did Andy Serkin?
Yeah,
did,
Andy Serkin, yeah.
Mocap for the first time. And then they did all the big battles with the orcs. Those were, like, revolutionary by having so many characters that were CGI in one shot and shit.
Yeah. So he was like, we can do this. So John Landau, my producing partner, by the way, no relation to Martin Landau. If anybody out there is wondering, yeah, we'll get into it.
Okay.
Not today, but one day. My producing partner, John Landau, and I looked at each other and said, we're doing Avatar. And that is the beginning of how Avatar got fucking made.
That's really funny because so my prep for this was I watched the Making of documentary, which is as long as some movies off the Avatar special edition Blu-ray.
Yeah.
He tells a different story on that. He said, basically, I wrote Avatar right after Titanic, and that was what I intended to make afterwards, but the technology wasn't there. So I just did a bunch of underwater expeditions to pass the time until the technology caught up.
God damn it, James.
So after about four or five underwater expeditions, I came up for air one day and we were finally ready. So
my favorite part about both of these stories is neither of them ever mentioned the noble fact of like saving the rainforest.
No.
He's like,
No.
None of it has anything to do with like an inspiring message and like trying to like make the world a better place. It's like, nah, this is just what I want
to
do.
He's like, all right, your technology's not ready yet. I'm going to go home to Atlantis for a while, and I'll be back whenever you're ready for me, you know?
And he said that as a child, he really enjoyed wandering into the forest, capturing critters, and making them his pets.
Oh, wow.
And so...
This is the beginning of a serial killer. That's how Ted Bundy started, too.
He's just got his mansion. He's got taxidermy. these
were my pets.
And bat fevers.
He said it instilled a love of nature in him from a young child. So the genesis of Avatar wasn't a particular point. It was kind of something he always wanted to do.
Right. He's like, I had a conversation with Jeffrey Dahmer and decided it was time to do Avatar when I come back from Atlantis.
Yeah, so one story was like, I've always wanted to make Avatar since I was a kid that was capturing wildlife to make it my slave.
And then another story is like, we flipped a coin. Me and old John Landau flipped a coin and was like, why not make a $400 million movie?
Yeah, because he talked about that in the documentary, too. He was like, we did this scene capture with actors that were temporary just to see if we could do it. And once we saw that we could do it, we were like, let's try and get some money for this.
Let's try and get some. Well, so they did. They brought it to.
So they did.
They bring it to 20th Century Fox. That's who we made Titanic with. That's like James Cameron's studio, kind of like Spielberg's Universal. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Cameron is 20th Century Fox. Fox said, it's a good script, but can we like cut out all this hippie tree hugging shit? This is not for us.
Wait,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Fox was like, we don't care about the trees. Like, fucking get rid of that shit.
We own a mining company in Brazil. This is not going to be good for our bottom line.
Fox is like, now, those blue people fucking with their hair, more of that. Just less of the tree shit, you know?
More docking.
More hair docking. Less tree hugging. And it's sort of... But this set a fire under James Cameron, very James Cameron-esque. He was like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to lay it on even fucking thicker now. Like, you're going to get the most hippy-dippy bullshit I've ever written in my whole fucking life now. And Fox was just like, well, you're James Cameron, so whatever you say, sir, you know. He said he's always been a climate activist. Now we know. He's wandering around the woods fucking capturing animals. He loves the climate.
And we got to save the animals because I need them for my show.
Yeah, yeah. If you kill all the animals, I won't be able to kill them, you know? if they all die from the smog, I won't be able to skin them while they're still alive. And that's when he decided he wanted this to be a series of films and tell a story based on the real-life struggles of indigenous peoples and ecological hooey fooey hippy dippy.
It sounds like he didn't give a shit about Indigenous people.
I think he just wanted to make a very expensive movie where people were real but not real. You know, he spends fucking half his life in, at the bottom of the fucking ocean, you know, on acid. So, like, I imagine this is just another James Cameron trip. His friends are probably like, he's so full of shit, dude. He just wants to make a very expensive movie. That's all this is. Like, don't listen to this man. He was a truck driver.
This town is so crazy. You can go from truck driver to most successful movie of all time.
Oh my god.
And here we are.
Yeah. And so Fox was like, all right, how much do you need? They opened their fucking treasure chest and they were like, just put your hands in there and grab whatever you want. And so Avatar was officially budgeted at $237 million. And this was like the green light.
We had to sell that mine in Brazil.
Well, good news for you, Jimmy. We sold the mine, so you can have all your hippie shit and all the money. $237 million movie during one of the greatest recessions of American history.
Was that in the inflation calculator?
They were cutting that check before the economy crashed.
So other estimates put the cost between $280 million. One of the estimates said that it was $310 million for production and $150 million for promotion.
With inflation, if it's anywhere near the 300, that is $600 million. Yes. That is over $500 million in today's money for one motherfucking movie. How many starving kids around the planet? Yes. You want to go save some indigenous people? Make a fucking cheaper movie, bro.
They could have sent that money to the indigenous people.
Yeah.
But instead they're like,
could have saved the rainforest. You could have just bought it.
We just want the indigenous people to come to the movies and spend $18 on an IMAX ticket. You know, we don't give a fuck.
My heart hurts from laughing.
So Fox was like, here's all the money that America has left. Go make this movie. Obama's like, what the fuck? Obama's like, I'm bailing out car companies over here. You know,
had to bail out the banks because the banks gave all the money to Cameron. Yeah.
It was the James Cameron bailout of 2009.
They're like, why is the economy going to shit? I don't know. You spent $500 million in the past 10 years. Maybe that's why.
You said the people were blue. And I was like, all right.
We wanted blue people fucking their tails. I don't know. They fuck the horses sometimes, too. Did you know that?
How many hundreds of millions or billions we had spent on both wars by this time?
Not as much as Avatar.
Right. Could we have invaded another country for this? Like,
the space war costs more money.
Space war. I would love to hear that the military paid for part of Avatar. That would be fucking
hilarious.
Actually,
that wouldn't be surprising.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
Well, you know, his brother was definitely military consulting.
Oh, my God.
He was, yeah.
For sure. Really? And, you know, Rodriguez and Sam got military training. She actually got taught how to fly a helicopter.
Yep.
Before this, so it would all look real.
So from January to April 2006, Cameron sat down in Atlantis in his castle, and he worked on the script and developed a culture for the film's aliens, the Na'vi. Their language was created by Dr. Paul Frommer, a linguist at USC, and it has a lexicon of about 1,000 words with some 30 added by Cameron himself.
You know, it's not enough to hire a doctor of language to invent your language.
I got some words.
Yeah, I got some ideas about this.
I got the best words.
Fucking crazy.
These words are mine.
I've got more context on this.
Okay, go ahead and tell it.
No, for later. We'll switch segments later.
Okay. Yeah. From 2005 to 2007, Cameron worked with a handful of designers, including famed fantasy illustrator Wayne Barlow and renowned concept artist Jordu Shell to shape the design of the Na'vi with paintings and physical sculptures when Cameron felt that 3D brush renderings were not capturing his vision. I
love this.
Yeah. Often working together in the kitchen of Cameron's Malibu home. Yeah, right. It was in Atlantis. Don't try to tell me different. The man
the
is the
kitchen
king.
Of his Malibu home.
Yeah, he's just like, just come over. We'll rough out some of these 10-foot-tall boobies.
None of that 3D brush shit, though. I want the real deal. Wants the real deal. You know what I'm saying?
His Malibu home is actually on the beach in Malibu, and you walk into the water. The entrance to the house is just the mansion. You go underwater to the secret compound.
They had to destroy a coral reef to build it.
Yeah.
His house is a coral reef.
And now he's like, well, we got to do way of the water because I got to go rebuild that reef.
Yeah, you got to wear a scuba suit to go visit old Jim.
Save the oceans. But also, not if it costs me my home.
Everybody's got their scuba suits on to go into his house, and he doesn't need one. He's just like a fish person.
He's got gills.
Yeah. July 2006, Cameron announced that he would film Avatar for a mid-2008 release and planned to begin principal photography with an established cast by February 2007.
The balls. The audacity to be like, I'm going to do this in a year.
I'm going to get it cut.
I'm going to get it shot and edited in a year.
This is what he does. He goes to the studio, give me all your money, and I'll have this ready in a year. And they're just like, okay, here you go.
You know how many executives were like, you know, you could save money by like drawing this out.
No.
We're doing it all at once.
I want it real, but not real. I want it like real, but not real. And by the way, they're like, James, your cell phone reception is terrible. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm at the bottom of the ocean again. But speaking of cast. The
jellyfish told me.
The jellyfish told me it's got to be real, but not real. Speaking of cast, we had old Walmart Jeremy Renner, Sam Worthington.
Walmart Jeremy Renner.
The Australian Jeremy Renner. That's who he is to me, man. Sam Worthington. That guy's career came and went, right? Like, this was pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But do you need anything else?
No, you're
getting those fucking residuals like crazy.
It was this and fucking whatever that he did the remake to like Jason of the Argonauts or some shit. I don't remember. But what was that again? I have no idea. Where there was Medusa and shit. Really bad.
Clash of the Titans.
That was Sam Worthington. That was old Sammy production.
That was a bomb.
That was a Sammy production.
That one actually I think killed his career.
Yeah.
He's like, after this, I'm just gonna do Avatars. Yeah. I got job security with Cam.
He plays Jake Sully, the disabled former Marine who becomes a part of the Avatar program, you know, his twin brother, blah, blah, blah. His military background helps the Na'vi warriors relate to him. Cameron cast the Australian actor after a worldwide search for promising young actors, preferring relative unknowns to keep the budget down. So there's a tale that Sam Worthington, he got a call to audition for this thing. And he says, this is just another waste of my time. He was very disappointed. He said, this sounds like bullshit. And they say that he was living in his car at the time.
Yeah.
When he got the call.
That's the story they tell, is that all he had was a bag of clothes, a bag of books.
I don't believe it.
And a $3,000 car.
Do not believe you.
Interesting.
He was already huge in Australia.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Like, he was relatively unknown here, but he was an Australian actor. Like,
in Australia, people just live in their cars.
That's very true. That's if they were living in their Subarus. Yeah.
Yeah, because...
I don't know. It's a choice. It's not a necessity. Yeah.
The audition he got, they wouldn't tell him the director or anything. He just had to audition for it. And then, like, he said, like, a little bit later, he got a call, and they're like, James Cameron wants to fly you out to Los Angeles. He was like, why does he want to do that?
Yeah.
And they're like, remember that audition you did that you hated? He was like, yeah, what about it? He was like, well, that was for a James Cameron thing. He was like, oh, fuck.
The plane to L.A. just, like, looks like it's about to crash in the ocean, and a big hole opens up. He's like, we're going to see Jim.
Well, what's interesting is he talked about like being like living out of his car with a bag of clothes in a car, and he was like, "Oh, crikey! Well, as long as I get down this mountain, because I was snowboarding."
Oh my god! If you can afford to snowboard, pay fucking rent, okay? Just get an apartment.
I told you, choice.
He was choosing to live in his car.
He was like, hey, James can see me whenever I get down this mountain after I shred the board.
And then I'm just going to go surfing, dodge some sharks.
Yeah. He's like, well, I just had lunch at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and I'm living in my car.
I love Australia and Australians because it's a country full of criminals and prison guards.
Yeah. Shout out to Australia. We love you guys.
Don't love the prison guards. Love the criminals.
Yeah. Love the criminals. We love you crime bastards. Do they listen to us?
Probably.
Oi, crikey.
Probably. I don't know what our Australia listener base is, but that spiked.
It's there. It'll spike after this, I'm sure. Probably from hate.
But yeah, the old Sea King cast Sam Worthington out of his car, brought him into the movie. Cameron felt that because Worthington had not done a major film, he would give the character a quality that is really real, but not real.
Really real, like inexperienced.
Yeah. In other words, he's cheap. Which, by the way, you know, we don't have a lot of money to make this film, so, like, we got to get a cheap actor,
There's a funny line in the doc where Cameron was like, I want a young actor. Sam was already 30, but he would do.
Wow, Jimmy. All right.
He's like, Sigourney's our biggest budget, and then what's his name? The guy from the human side.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? I don't remember. He's got, like, an Italian name.
Yeah. We'll get into him probably. Cameron said, Sam has the quality of being a guy you'd want to have a beer with in his car, and he ultimately becomes... No,
I do not
want to
have a beer with James Cameron.
No, yeah, Sam Worthington, I know, thank
you. Sounds like this, he was an angry drunk.
Worthington also briefly appears as Jake's deceased identical twin, Tommy. So he played two roles in this. Cameron, initially, did you hear about this? Who he initially offered that role to?
No.
Matt Damon.
He
offered this to Matt Damon with a 10% stake in the film's profits.
Oh, my God.
But Damon turned the film down because of his commitment to the Bourne film series, which worked out for him because this movie was just a big flop, never made any money. So,
I mean,
I'm sure he was.
The Bourne movies also printed money. Yeah. The Bourne movies also printed money.
You do four Bournes equals one Avatar.
Yeah. And also, like, this movie was a fucking commitment.
Yeah.
So,
no
doubt
about it.
That makes sense.
If I was Matt, I probably would have chosen that because Bourne sounds like it's more fun to do.
Yeah.
Like your action.
Yeah,
you don't
there's
have to
a lot
of fucking tank and rigging. And
I will get into this. There's a lot of this movie that sounds very not fun.
Yeah, for
to
sure.
To actually do it? Yeah. With all the mocap and then, you know, just everything entails
with
the whole production.
I'll get into it.
Man, I'm with you though. Like, Jason Bourne was his fucking James Bond.
Yeah.
We had Stephen Lang as Colonel Miles Quatrick, the head of the mining operations security detail, Fox's mine, actually. We got motherfucking Sigourney Weaver as Dr. Grace Augustine, an exobiologist and the head of the Avatar program. Avatar was Sigourney Weaver's seventh science fiction film in her career, and it was released 30 years after Sigourney Weaver's breakthrough film Alien. And if you remember... James Cameron also directed her in the sequel,
Aliens.
Mm-hmm. And that was them together. So this was their second film doing together.
He originally didn't want to cast her because he was like, is it kind of corny to
like on the nose.
Do it again?
Right.
And he was like, no, it's such a different character. I'll just go with it. And I don't remember the original name of that character rhymed with Ridley.
Yeah.
So he changed it. Because he cast her, and he was like, I don't want it to be that on the nose.
That makes sense. Yeah, so. That makes sense. She's
it was like
legend.
Ridley, and then the
Squiggly.
Yeah, it was like
Squiggly.
Squiggly. Squiggly, yeah.
Dr. Squiggly. Dr. Squiggly, we need you at once, underwater, in the ocean. She's such a legend, though, dude. We'll do an episode on her one day.
Yeah.
There were some funny stories about her. She said she basically just played James Cameron. Her character is just an imitation of him.
I'm just going to do an impression of you. Yeah. How much more meta could that be?
That's exactly what she said. She
That's
was
really
like,
funny.
She found it very fun to like just make fun of him in front of his face, basically.
That's hilarious.
Like, and also, the cigarette that she smokes is computer generated, by the way. She had CGI
First
cigarettes. CGI cigarette. Old Sigourney
Weaver.
Tobacco
companies were real pissed about that.
That's hilarious.
Fox was probably pissed too. They're like, you know, we also have cigarette companies, right? Like,
you want another 50 mil? You know, hey, go Philip Morris in here.
James, you spent $50 million on cigarette renders.
You could have just gotten a fucking cigarette. $20 for a pack. It's 2005, man. They're in the bread lines for bread and cigarettes. Just go get one. We had Michelle Rodriguez as Trudy Chacon, a combat pilot assigned to support the Avatar program who is sympathetic to the Na'vi. And like you were saying, she got helicopter training for this and all that. She's such a badass, man. And of course, our giant blue love interest, Zoe Saldana as Neytiri, the daughter of the leaders of the Omotikaya. I wonder if the USC guy or James Cameron made up that one. The Na'vi clan central to the story. And so that's all our characters.
Yeah.
Now we're ready to do that. And who you were talking about an Italian guy?
Yeah, the guy who is like the business head of the humans. Not the security military guy, but the one in charge of like the mission command. He was also, you know...
Oh, Giovanni Ribisi. Yes. Giovanni Ribisi's in this as well. That's right.
Wasn't he also a crazy Scientologist?
Giovanni
Ribisi.
Aren't all Scientologists crazy? Yeah.
He is a Scientologist. Hey.
You know what? I'm less worried about Russia or the United States government. I'm more worried about Scientologists.
More worried about our own backyard.
Hey.
My
name is Ribisi PC over here.
Ribisi brings peace. So now we got this thing cast. We got all the money that America had left. We're ready to go. So now we're going to get into the filming of Avatar. While these preparations were underway, getting the casting done, you know, James Cameron's probably taking another deep sea dive somewhere. And in the meantime, Fox kept wavering in its commitment to Avatar because of its painful experience with cost overruns and delays on Cameron's previous picture, Titanic. So even though Cameron rewrote the script to combine several characters together and offered to cut his fee in case the film flopped. He's like, basically, if this thing doesn't do well, you don't got to pay me. How about that? They're like, all right. Instead, he installed a traffic light with the amber signal lit outside of co-producer John Landau's office to represent the film's uncertain future.
What?
Yeah.
Acid.
He was James Cameron did some stuff. All right, he was very theatrical with his antics. In mid 2006, Fox told Cameron in no uncertain terms that they were passing on this film. So at one point, it was like, never mind, we're not doing Avatar. So he began shopping it around to other studios. He approached Walt Disney Studios, showing his proof of concept to then chairman Dick Cook. Dick Cook. Nice.
Hell yeah.
However, when Disney showed interest, Disney was like, all right, fuck it, we'll do it. Fox was like, nah. We'll do it. Let's just do it. If Disney's going to do it, we want to do it. All right. So Fox exercised its rights of first refusal. And in October 2006, Fox finally agreed to commit to making Avatar after Ingenious Media agreed to back the film, which reduced Fox's financial exposure to less than half of the film's official $237 million budget. So they were getting away a little bit cheap here. They only had to do like $120 million. You know, that's it. After Fox accepted Avatar, one skeptical Fox executive shook his head and told James Cameron and Landau, I don't know if we're crazier for letting you do this or if you're crazier for thinking you can do this. He was just like, well.
That's also a very Hollywood exec thing to say.
Yeah. He's like, I think this is a bad decision, but you're James Cameron, so I guess we're going to do this. They hired more than 1,000 people to work on this production.
This was the biggest jobs program in 2009. Yeah.
He employed more people than any other company in America at the time. In preparation of the filming sequences, all the actors underwent professional training specific to their characters, such as archery, horseback riding, firearm use, hand-to-hand combat, helicopter piloting. They received language and dialect training in the Na'vi language created for the film. And
oh, do you have a little story about James Cameron shooting the bow and arrow?
No.
Oh, I've got that story.
You do?
Really?
All right, I'll let you say it first.
Oh, my God, right, dude. Yeah. I can't wait. To help the actors prepare for their roles, I love this story. Director James Cameron took the cast and crew to Hawaii, where they spent their days trekking through the forest and jungles in order to get a better sense of what it would be like to live and move around the jungle on Pandora, since there would not be any actual jungle sets to aid and guide the actors and crew.
That's why I have so much context on all of this.
That's such bullshit, dude. I mean, what a great fucking gig. It's just like, I guess we'll just go to Hawaii for a while to learn how to walk through a jungle. It's like, just walk. Like,
oh, just... No, I got a lot of context on this.
Okay.
We'll get to this on my segment. So
Zoe Saldana, this is my favorite. She even dressed up as a warrior during these journeys, complete with an alien tail, symbolic of her of the one her character has in the movie.
She's just a furry.
She was in Hawaii walking through like these hikes with a fucking tail on, dressed like some sort of Na'vi warrior.
Still hot though.
Yeah. She's crazy. She's that hot crazy scale, you know, for sure. Like, she's hot and nuts. And, you know, of course, they were only hiking during the daytime and they were spending their nights at the Four Seasons Hotel at night. So,
okay.
Yeah. They were living it up in Hawaii.
The rough life. They were roughing it.
They were
just like the
it.
Na'vi.
That's right. Just like Kevin Costner in Waterworld style, you know. Yeah. Everybody else is living in the fucking sun, and Kevin Costner like owned a hotel right there. It's like, I'm going back to my room and getting some margaritas. You guys have fun.
Leave me on this fucking raft to die.
Well, before we move on, do you want to your 2 cents in on that one?
I'll just save my whole segment for the end.
Okay. During filming, Cameron made use of his virtual camera system, a new way of directing motion capture filmmaking. The system shows the actors' virtual counterparts in their digital surroundings in real time, allowing the director to adjust and direct scenes just as if shooting live action, which is really cool to me. So he was seeing the Na'vi on his monitor, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure they weren't fully rendered or anything. It was probably...
I have context on this.
Okay, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. According to Cameron, it's like a big, powerful game engine. If I want to fly through space or change my perspective, I can. I can turn the whole scene into a living miniature and go through it on a 50-to-1 scale. So,
except the software kept crashing because it built, like it wasn't.
I have context on
really?
That too.
Interesting.
I have context on that as well.
Yeah.
They're like, the software wasn't designed for this, so we pushed it to the limits, and we'll be in the middle of shooting, and it just started to crash, and then we had to reset.
Jesus, man. Yeah, that sounds about right. Oh, my God, dude, that crashing sounds like a fucking nightmare. Most of the animal noises heard in the movie are recycled dinosaur noises from Jurassic Park.
Oh, that's fun. I didn't know that. Just
notably, the T-Rex and the raptors. The whooping and cackling sounds made by the wolf-like predators on Pandora are actually real spotted hyena calls. So they were just little space hyenas. That's what they were. James Cameron's like, I've actually trapped a few real space hyenas in my day.
Jellyfish told me about them.
One of his on-set stories about it's a nightmare to work with Jim Cameron. He was known for being very tough on set. He would keep a nail gun on set, and if your cell phone went off on set, he would nail your fucking phone to the wall.
What?
Yeah, dude. He was a maniac.
Unhinged.
Unhinged.
It's like,
maniac.
That was my wife. She just went into labor.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know where the hospital is.
That's all I really have about the filming of it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So let me get into this.
Yes.
Because I have a lot of context about every aspect of what we just kind of talked about.
Yes, please.
That'll do it for part one. Wow, this sounds bad. I am recording on my MacBook Pro's internal speaker because I am visiting my parents and don't have my recording equipment here. But I will roll the outro that we will recycle for part two. And yeah, it ended up being a 2-hour episode. And I figured I'm already super late. Want to get this up as quick as possible. Hopefully part two later this week. And then a Christmas episode on a Christmas if everything goes right. We appreciate you rocking with these delays as things are chaotic. Thank you guys. See you in part two, where I will go over all of the technical aspects, the actual technology behind it. Really interesting stuff. Really excited about the research I did on it, so definitely check into that. Roll the outros.
You can find me on Instagram at Drake Cummings, on TikTok at Hollywood Drake, on Twitter at Drake_Cummings, at my merch store, RagingToysMerch.com, and, you know, if you're on the internet website, especially ones about running through jungles with tails on, just type my name in and see what comes
just
up.
Google them, bitches.
I might have shot some footage for old Jim.
Google them. For old Jim.
Google
sake.
Me. Who are you, Dev?
You can find me sailing through the set of Avatar 2 looking for Captain Nemo and the Nautilus.
Yeah.
Trying to fuck a fish. Sailor_Dev on Insta and AbracadabraDev on Twitter.
You can find me at Jimmy DeLoy or James White Scott, depending on where you're looking for me. Film History, The History of Film, or at FHHF Podcast. And you can also find me going 20,000 leagues under the sea to have an audition with Jim Cameron. And that's been Film History.
The History of Film.
You know what I'm talking about.